Ray. This is an interview with Ray Chung, and today's date is December 7th.
Yeah.
And it's 7:35 p.m., just to be officious. So I haven't seen you in a very, very long, long time, and I was really happy that Jennifer asked me to interview you. And I thought maybe we could begin by you talking a little bit about the experience of the last week.
What I got out of it most was the practice of having to come up with scores, which I almost never do. To create scores. I'm very used to just improvising openly. In my own dancing and performing, generally. So when I was asked to come up with a score, to me that was a real challenge. But I actually was surprised by how easily it came. Not initially, because the next day people had, or people were just coming off the cuff with some scores.
Did you work collaboratively in creating scores? You all, each individually created scores?
Yeah, we all had to come up with our own, but we were playing chess, checkers.
Chinese checkers, yeah.
Yeah, with each other and talking about it, but each person's score was pretty much a personal thing.
And did you work with each other's scores? Or?
Yeah, we did.
You did?
Everybody tried each other's scores.
Oh, okay.
And we actually performed them all.
Except for the night that I saw, when it was fully open, or
yeah, last
not
night.
Really?
Yeah. That's when we kind of let the scores be loosely defined, as it were. But yeah, I wasn't able to just come up with one off the cuff, but just after just a brief moment of just reflection about what is it that drives me to dance? And I realized, okay, imagination was, to me, something I needed to include as part of the instructions in the score. Because that always works for me. If I can engage my imagination, then the rest becomes really easy.
So, did you notice anything? Obviously, in dancing with people, you get, or at least as an audience member last night, and knowing this group of people from various different connections over a long period of time, some much better than others, there are interconnections, but that when you look at the ensemble, you're a very diverse group of people with diverse trainings and aesthetic proclivities and even performance and artistic practices. And so those come up for us as an audience member watching the group also, who is working in what kinds of ways and how do they approach the process of art making and improvisation in specifically. But I was wondering if that also came up in the approach or the language that people use to create scores, or whether there was ease or discord in that exchange of trying to deal with other people's linguistic constructions.
Yeah, well, I guess that one good example was Andrea, the musician. She came up late with a score, and it was one that was fairly abstract and not so well defined as far as what the actual tasks were. It was, so I had a hard time with it, because it's often easier for me to, if it's going to be so open, then I would prefer that it's just totally
just
open.
Yeah.
Instead of being open in a kind of certain way that's, for me, was kind of ambiguous. I guess the first instruction of four steps was the musicians and dancers decide that two of the performers will be left behind, and being left behind, whatever that means for you.
Right. So it's a kind of poetic interpretation, yeah, in a way, or conceptual interpretation.
And I guess for me, it's easier just to, okay. I mean, I could play with it, but we never got to the point of actually trying it out as a group, because the wording of the next four steps on top of that, and then I guess people were scored out by then as well.
Right.
But another score was also very open. Beyond the periphery, you're facing the audience, you can talk to them. In the center, now I'm mixing them up because they were two different things. I guess be with your own movement. And that for me is workable, but as far as how it would connect to other scores and to the whole kind of arc of the logic of what was being either presented or engaged in wasn't obvious to me. So in that sense, there were a number of scores that were coming in that may or may not have been able to relate to each other. They were all trying to combine and rearrange and to make either some flow or logic out of, which was more or less, sometimes less, sometimes more successful. Especially for the first two nights, which you didn't see. But it had the effect of, when we're trying so many different scores, to create a disjointed continuity kind of to the whole activity.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you were, like, was there an uber score that was organizing the emergence of those other scores, or did it, was it just sort of like...
No, there wasn't an uber score. It was just kind of a collection of scores that we were trying to arrange in a...
Yeah, you like, as a group, came to a decision of, like, what that arrangement was going to be. Yeah.
Because each night was this duet by Thomas and Mark.
Right.
And that kind of sets the tone.
For the rest of the evening.
Yeah. So how do we deal with the...
The aftermath.
Yeah.
So you said earlier that you don't normally work with scores, that you prefer to work, or at least you are...
To improvise openly.
Openly. And I was thinking about, I had a number of different questions, but maybe we can just start with that question about, like, what is it that draws you to that choice or that practice of working without a predetermined kind of score, or, you know, narrowing the frame, so to speak. What is it about that appeals to you, and do you feel like that's... there's something to say about, like, what you're trying to achieve through the art-making process that that facilitates.
Well, that intention of openness, I feel, gives me room to not make a choice if I need to, or to make the appropriate choice. Because often I feel like at least the scores we were playing with, and the scores, even in my own definition of scores, was something to constrain or create choices. That's what a score does. But where, you know, what the choices are and where depends on what the intention of the improvisation of the piece is. Often I'm trying to create something in the spot with someone. So it's a process. The process of improvising openly is one of actually presenting, but also reading and communicating through this process of presenting and reading with each other, either through movement or whatever the language is. And usually it's dance. What is the idea that's being presented? What can I contribute to it? What do I not want to put there, what do I need to give it or take out of it. And I feel like I need that openness to really find this through line. It's much like having a conversation.
Right.
So I need...
Instead of saying, like, oh, we're going to speak about this.
Yeah, and I can only use these words, but not these words. And,
yeah. I mean, it's interesting to me also because I thought, I was thinking about... you know, the fact that you work in engineering and you, that's a big part of what you spend time doing, and that being so much of a...
it's fluctuated. It's become less...
It has, actually. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Uh-huh. But do you feel like there's an interrelationship between those very different, or maybe they aren't so different?
Well, in my experience with it, I appreciate the specificity... The framework that you, the analytical way of looking at things that you need to have to be successful in that practice.
In which practice?
In engineering.
In engineering, yeah.
But even more general is this whole process of designing, which engineering engages in.
Right, yes.
And to me, it's, again, okay, you can start more improvisationally because when you're conceptualizing a design, you know, you're brainstorming, you're trying lots of different ideas, and then kind of narrowing in on...
Yeah, but that narrow, I mean, there's a relationship between the narrowing, and you could say, okay, if you look